Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, the Steve Cochran Show for Tuesday morning, 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, Mary Sandberg Boyle here. Super Joe and Mike on the other side of the glass. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. Mary Vandeveld in Traffic Central. Everybody, I think, a little bleary-eyed this morning. I know I am. I think Joe is. I'm not sure, Steve, whether you made it to the end of the game or watched the game last night, but it went late. It went really late.
How late? I went to bed.
Yeah, it was, I think it was around 11.
Yeah. Mary, you went to bed? You had a winning team.
Well, that shows who's really serious about it.
I was so tired. I was really, really tired yesterday. I tried. I made it to like the third, you know, the half and the second half part.
I was fighting it.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, these games start.
It started late.
It starts at 8:20 every year.
And I
guess they do it for the West Coast. They start late. But, I mean, imagine now if you're a kid on the East Coast and the game ends. If you're a Virginia fan, it's midnight. And then you want to watch the post-game stuff.
Yeah.
One shining moment was on in the middle of the night.
I will say, when it was going to overtime, you know, when you have to get up early, you make a decision if you're going to commit or not. But the second, I didn't stick around for One Shining Moment. I don't care for that song anyway. But I did watch them win, and then I ran away. I did not know, because I do not watch a lot of Texas Tech sports, that people throw tortillas on
the court.
Tortillas, yeah.
That can be a problem. You know, I mean, what's the oddest thing people, this be a good text question.
Yeah, yeah.
The oddest thing you've seen people throw onto a sporting event court or field.
Baseball field will probably win that one.
Well, the octopus in Detroit.
Yeah, that's
that
different.
Still is the strangest. But yeah, the tortillas, they had to stop play for a few moments to clean up the tortillas.
Watching the guys have to do it it makes me laugh because they you might have to clean up tortillas off the floor. Like, it just is a weird...
It's even funnier, tortillas in Minneapolis. Yeah. You know, it's like, what?
They're frozen tortillas.
Oh.
But, you know, they... It actually, if you're going to have to clean
any,
no, I'm just saying it's Minneapolis. But
good one, Dave.
If you're going to have to clean anything up off the court, I would think a tortilla is probably the least and fuss, right?
Yeah, unless it had sour cream.
Well,
yeah, no,
I think these
clean.
Are just the pancakes.
Nothing.
But I guess they do it at football games too, or something. Yeah. But I didn't know that.
I'd forgotten that. Northwestern played Texas Tech in a bowl game many years ago, and I seem to remember having found that a little bit of information intriguing.
I would like to hear Dave Ennett call tortillas, and there's tortillas.
Tortillas. Oh. We have a timeout for a tortilla on the field.
Tortilla timeout.
I guess we're going to go over our results later on. Of course,
all morning long.
Yeah, and then we all morning.
Now, is there any kind of trophy or anything for Mary?
No.
Or?
Yeah, come on, a pizza, something.
I'm not sure.
Wait a minute. Okay, I won the whatever the fantasy football thing was. What did I get?
No,
It didn't get mentioned.
We didn't even bring it up. I'm not sure. Yeah.
No. So
research. Gee.
Yeah, I'm sure. Research. Hey, Will, who should I take in my bracket?
I beat him. I beat Will. My son did not do well at all.
My stepdaughter, who's 15, who has zero knowledge of any college basketball, she picked Texas Tech, and picked Virginia. So she won her bracket group.
Yeah, but that was how many brackets?
Right. She had five brackets, and she had five different outcomes, but one of her outcomes was... in her friend group, she won. So.
You know my philosophy, Mary.
Yes, I do.
And I'm not, you know, I'm sorry, it's nothing. Catherine, God love her, she can fill out as many brackets as she wants. But I think you should fill out one bracket and stick to it.
Yes.
And if they don't all come through, too bad. That's why you're competing.
Yes, I agree.
How many did you do, Mary Vandeveld?
One.
Okay, that's better.
I'm just when we had Jeremy Colleton on, you know, coach of the Blackhawks, and he said he had a couple brackets, and it was
you saw the steam coming off my head.
But I know the younger generation is doing multiple brackets, except for maybe Super Joe, but he's like an old man inside of a young person's body.
And he's not speaking this morning, so he must not be happy.
No. Are you saying that I fill out multiple brackets or that I don't?
I'm saying maybe you don't because you're kind of an old man in a young man's body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Only
That's
one.
Exactly right.
Okay, so.
Yeah, just the one.
Did you make it to the end of the game?
I did, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had to nap. Had to drink some coffee to stay up with the young crowd.
Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
Well, we have, we're going to go over these, I think, a little bit later on.
Yep.
We have the top six at six coming up. Kid of the Week. Karen Conti is going to be here to talk about the guilty pleas entered in the college admissions scandal.
It's funny, yesterday. Of those 13 people yesterday that entered guilty, the range of money, like, she only paid the $15,000. She and, like, two other people only did $15,000. But some people on that list paid $400,000. And I want to know, did their kid get way more stuff or benefit or perks by paying so much more money? Or if, like, if you could get in at $15,000, why would you pay $400,000? Or was your kid that much delinquent that you needed to pay more? You know what I mean?
Or like, get into a different school.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the school. Anyway.
Well, we'll get into
very
that.
Very interesting.
Got some Sox tickets to give away this morning, so that's coming up on the Tuesday Steve Cochran Show.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, Felicity Huffman and 12 other parents agree to plead guilty in the college admissions cheating scam. Karen Conti's going to join us this morning to talk a little bit more about this. Nothing on Aunt Becky at this point, and if Aunt Becky doesn't take that deal, if it's been offered to her, she's an idiot.
I think Felicity's statement yesterday, it seemed really sincere about how she owns everything she did and she feels terrible to all the kids that worked hard to get into college and all the parents that work really hard to pay for their kids to go to college and how she's going to deal with this the rest of her life.
And Becky still thinks she's right?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. They didn't really say about the other people, but we were discussing, you know, Felicity and a couple other people on that list only paid $15,000, but some people on that list paid $400,000, and I was curious as to what the more money gets you. Like, what?
I guess the guy that was running the scam just said, how much can I get out of this couple?
Oh, okay.
Can I get
so out of Felicity couple? Was only willing to hand out 15.
Well, she only had a guy do his her daughter's test, and she said her daughter didn't know.
I know. That's. Can you imagine?
That wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that she didn't know.
Yeah.
It's good that she wasn't involved. But Lori Loughlin's daughters, at least one of them, you know, went, okay.
Yeah.
And, okay, I'm on the crew team. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Row, row, row. Stroke. And that was a $300,000 payment, I believe.
Okay.
And supposedly she and Massimo Finguli, what's his name? The designer? Massimo Zippity Duda?
I only know him as Massimo because that's the brand. I got to look up his name.
Massimo and Lori. Massimo and Lori Loughlin are. Well, they're in trouble. Their marriage is supposedly in trouble. Yeah, it's understandable, you know?
What, when you joint cheat for your kid, that causes strife in the marriage?
A little bit of stress there, yeah.
Massimo Giannulli.
I like it where you just fade.
So let's just call him Massimo.
Next, President moved to clear out the top ranks of the Department of Homeland Security. His goal here is just to make sure everyone is acting. Because, you know, he thinks it's a TV show. A day after the resignation of Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, the White House announced the departure of the director of the Secret Service, Randolph Allis, and more high-ranking officials are expected to leave soon. Okay. Just another day at the White House. Next. Ted Nugent was booked to perform at the McHenry County Fair on August 3rd. Now, it's there's some social media fire going on about this. Jeff Kleinschmidt, who was hired as entertainment director for this year's fair, said he was taken aback at having been called a horrible person and being the subject of other negative personal attacks for booking Nugent. For those of you not familiar with Ted Nugent's stand, he is a far right wing and a gun advocate and has said some pretty terrible things at different times. but a lot of people like his music. He and the Fair Committee have received angry calls. This is Kleinschmidt now. He and the Fair Committee have received angry calls, emails, and Facebook messages. There have been calls to protest and boycott the fair, but he knows of no plans to cancel the performance. Kleinschmidt said with the announcement of Nugent's booking was made on social media Friday morning. He initially saw posts of praise, but later the negative comments began to appear and life went haywire. Look, job one here, and Samberg, you brought this up off the air. Leave this guy alone. This guy's just doing his job. This guy didn't go, you know who I'd like to have at the fair? A gun guy. Right. A gun guy who would cause people to call me a terrible person. That would be great. You know, you got a problem with Ted Nugent? Don't go to that show.
Don't go to the show, right.
Or do a public outcry, as some of you have done, to say the show should be canceled. But don't send messages to this guy saying he sucks.
And Dave Bennett has a good rule of thumb. He says sometimes, you know, type out a message, but then delete it.
Yep.
Like, keep it, you know, ride out that urge to...
Don't hit send.
That's our old bit, Dave. Yep. Our old bit, don't hit send.
Don't scroll down and don't hit send.
Next, happy birthday, Portillo's. It's 56th birthday. He wants everybody to be able to celebrate. All day today, the restaurant is selling its famous chocolate cake for 56 cents while supplies last at all of its locations. The deal is also available for online orders, but is limited to one cake slice per online order. One small catch, an entree salad, pasta, ribs, or sandwich must be purchased to be eligible for the discount. Well, you're not just going there for dessert.
Right.
Come on. Birthday month is now, and it was originally priced, a slice of birthday cake is originally priced at $3.20 after tax. You're saving yourself $2.70, $0.64 or whatever it is.
$3.20 for a piece of cake? I can make you one for $3.
I know. That's why this doesn't need to apply to us, because Mary makes us our own.
And it's fantastic.
Do you have a drive-up window, Mary?
Are you here today, John DeCoste? I made you a cake.
No,
dang.
I didn't need the cake.
It's
only
birthday.
56 cents today.
Aww. I know. And John DeCoste is 4 years older than Portillo's, if you can do the math.
I am. That's right.
I wonder what time you could get cake, because we could have Michael run over to Portillo's and get you cake.
Well, you got to get a hot dog.
Yeah, you're going to have to buy something else. I love the person that's going for the side salad to get the cake.
Yeah. I know. That's a good call.
Let's go get some salad and cake. And the other thing is it's limited till the supplies run out. So I want to be there when they put up the little sign that says, hey, we're out of cake.
What are they going to do? Stop baking? Just get going.
Plus, if you don't live in Illinois, there's other discounts going on during birthday month. I don't know why Illinois is left out of this, but, you know, there you go. How about Dick Portillo, though? In 56 years, he's a billionaire.
Yeah. And he's got great teeth.
One smart guy.
Yeah.
Two more, actually. Illinois health officials reported 154 cases of rapidly spreading and potentially deadly fungal disease with a high concentration in the Chicago area. Candida auris is particularly dangerous to older and sick patients who have invasive medical procedures. If you have unusual symptoms that you can't attribute to anything else, or if you're just feeling funky, you need to call a doctor. Don't mess around with it, because it spreads fast and it's a big problem, especially if you've got underlying illnesses to begin with. And finally, congratulations to the University of Virginia. First time NCAA champs, and more importantly, congratulations to Mary Vandeville, the winner of our March Madness pick situation here. Mary, brackets. Congratulations. Your brackets were fantastic.
I thank you.
How many times have I said to you, first time I saw you, I said, nice brackets.
Wow. And I slapped you in the face.
Yeah, I remember that.
She even beat her son.
I did. And he's a basketball crazy man.
Well, you know, listen, he had it coming. So congratulations all around for you, Mary Vandeveld. A big, big win for you.
Get me a piece of cake.
Yep.
And here come the pretzels.
What?
That's your top 6 and 6. Kid of the week coming up. NCAA championship results are in, as I said. Let's see. Got a great most valuable person on the planet, Karen Conti, on the Felicity Huffman college cheating scandal situation. Sox tickets later. And also tickets to the Lincoln Forum thing I'm doing Thursday night with Gary Cole. Gary Cole is one of the funniest people on TV. Well, he's really a great actor.
Yeah.
He does. He's one of the great character actors, period.
Maybe you guys can share stories of what you've been cut out of.
That'd be a good call.
You know, that's always...
One actor to another?
Yes.
Yeah. Ryan Dowd later from Acid House, one of the most amazing charitable organizations you'll ever find. and Orion later as well. By the way, if you are thinking about your taxes, and you ought to be, it's a week away, I would encourage you to go to the Steve Cochran Everything podcast, where Lewis Sands, the unofficial show accountant, and I talked about taxes. You have a new theme song for that later, right?
Yeah, whenever you want to. Well, yeah, we have the theme song for the new podcast.
Or
for
I thought you meant for song. Taxes.
No.
For tax,
that would be very, very specific.
Today sucks.
I'm sorry. A texter at 224 said the Portillo's in Crystal Lake ran out of cake at 1:30 p.m. last year, so don't wait too long to get the cake.
So they're going to start serving it the minute they open, huh?
Yeah. So was it 55 cents last year? So every year they just...
I guess.
I guess they do this every year. Hmm. And somebody said they open at 10 a.m. So
that's where they get you. They add a penny every year. That's how they get you.
Well, we could probably... I mean, they probably open the doors for us at 9 and give us something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Michael, talk your way in, man. it's 6:30, and let's get to the news, sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. And then I'll tell you, about the little quick trip I took this weekend as well, coming up on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, I'm making a special exception to the Kid of the Week rules because it's my game. It's my thing. Normally, we say if you're 18, that's it. No more Kid of the Week after 18. This young woman is 20, so why is she special? She started something in high school that she's continued on, and it's just a cool idea. It's called Dope. I don't do a Homer Simpson. Do you do a Homer Simpson, John DeCos?
No. No,
that's the worst.
I think Steve Grzanich. Steve Grzanich.
Steve, do you know a Homer Simpson?
Do I do a Homer Simpson?
Can you give me a dough?
Dough!
That's good.
Yeah. That's good. That was good.
Donation is a local sub company of Mia Zaz on Green Street. Started as a small scale gig back in McHenry to raise money for Food for Thought, a local food pantry. In the 2 weeks it was done, she was able to raise enough money to donate over 300 food items. Now, a couple of years later, she's still looking for ways to give back to the community. And now in the Urbana-Champaign area, where the recipe's gotten only better with age, here's what they do. They serve fresh-made cookie dough by the scoop. All right, follow me now. Fresh-made cookie dough by the scoop with 12 toppings and drizzles to choose from. Endless combinations. The only catch is 10% of the profits donated back to the community. You can keep up with the... Give me a dough, Steve.
Dope
Nations on the website or contact us at Steve
Cookie Dough.
Give me another dough.
Dough
Nation at gmail.com. That's Dough Nation, D-O-H Nation at gmail.com. If you have an organization you think that should be donated to, it's just a great idea. And Allison joins us now. Good morning, Allison. Allison, are you with me?
Dough.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, congratulations. What a cool idea.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really excited about it.
All right, so drizzling stuff on cookie dough. What are we drizzling?
Well, we have some, like, Ghirardelli caramels. We have a homemade fudge whipped cream. I make a marshmallow cream. Some stuff like that.
Yikes.
So, for people that don't know, edible cookie dough is a really hot dessert, you know, the last few years. Mm-hmm. And the thing that, you know, I'm a baker. I make cookie dough that I eat, but... mine has eggs in it and stuff, and you're really not supposed to eat that. So yours is one of those safe cookie doughs, right, Allison?
Yeah, I heat treat all my flour and store, and I don't put any eggs in it right now.
So how did you come up with that when you were in high school, even a recipe?
I saw a video on Facebook, and I was like, that seems like it's going to be really good. So I made it, and it wasn't good at all, but I felt like it still had some potential. So then I just started tweaking the recipe a little bit.
So were you a cook before that? Did you kind of a handle or a hand for cooking?
Not at all.
Really?
Yeah, and I still don't think that I can cook, and that's kind of why I like the cookie dough, because I don't have to do any cooking at all.
We had to come up with your super secret recipe that you'd have to kill us if you told us what it is.
How
come you originally wanted to raise money for Food for Thought? What got you thinking about that when you were in high school?
I don't remember, like, how I found out, but about 3 out of every 10 students in my high school were facing food insecurity, like, in some shape or form.
Okay.
And that number really blew me away. So I started just looking things up online, and I went to this leadership conference, and this kid was like, yeah, we have this program called Blessings in a Backpack at my school. We send kids home with food for over the weekend. And so then I looked up the program, and the program was really expensive to, like, buy into. And so my administration and I started talking about it, and we were like, what if we just made our own program where we kind of make our own rules, we can find out how to get the food on our own instead of buying into this program. And so I think we figured out how to do it a lot more cost effective that way, because we're primarily run on donations.
It's very impressive. Are you going to Illinois now?
Yeah, I'm at the U of I.
And what are you studying?
English and secondary education.
What do you want to do? I mean, you've already got a nice business going here. What do you want to do with your life?
I go back and forth, but I think I've settled on going into, like, high school teaching for English, but with the intention of working in the school to bring, like, more food pantries to schools in need and to making sure that I have direct access to these kids. It's kind of a way to get past all the administration instead of, like, working specifically for food insecurity.
You're a good person. You're cutting through the BS. And it's a cool idea. And if anybody gets an A, they get cookie dough.
I have one more question about the cookie dough. How many different base cookie doughs do you work with that you can put toppings on?
Well, wait, now you're talking technical bakery stuff.
Well, I mean, is it chocolate chip cookie dough? Is it sugar cookie dough? Okay. Like, what's the ranges?
So I have, like, a plain cookie dough, which is basically a sugar cookie dough. But then I have chocolate chip, cookies and cream, birthday cake, mint chip, peanut butter, and then I have a gluten-free oatmeal M&M.
I want them all except for the gluten-free
one. Look at that. Even gluten-free.
You're amazing. Yeah. You're amazing, and that's why we've broken. I don't know if we've ever broken the rules before on Kid of the Week, but we did it for you, Allison, you know, because we wanted you to be recognized.
Steve, she's funny because she knows the segment, and she said, "Well, I think I'm too old for that segment." So she knew that it was. I said I had jurisdiction over who I can decide to.
Right. We had a big meeting, a high level meeting about this, and Allison, you won. What do I do? Give her an app card, right?
Yeah, she's going to get an app gift card. Pleasing people since which year?
1936. It's the least we can do. Yeah. And if any listeners want to buy in, what do they do? I mean, how do we get your cookie dough?
Well, I think you can. You have to be at Miazza's in Champaign-Urbana,
yeah,
right?
But we're not there. So can't you freeze some up and send it?
If you go to donation@gmail.com, send her a note, you can send them a donation. DOHNATION.
I don't think you're understanding me. I'm going to send you money.
I'll
send you money, but we want some cookie dough. Can you freeze it and send it to us?
So, actually, I'm not opposed because my boss at Miazza's has this big van, and every now and then he lets me borrow it. So I'm not opposed to doing events in other areas where we make a bunch of cookie dough and we just bring it. I'm not opposed to it.
We are not making.
We should work that out.
No,
but we should work it out where we have an event that's a total scam just to get cookie dough brought up here.
But that's the thing; she doesn't want to be involved in scams.
No, but she's going to raise money.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a total fraud that we're getting together for people, for listeners to come by for some BS idea, and the whole reason is to make money for her for cookie dough and for me to sample.
We will be in touch, Allison, about that and how we're going to receive some cookie dough.
Right now, Sandberg is praying to God I forget about this idea.
No, but I do think people should buy the dough.
Yeah, and donate at donation, D-O-H, nation, just donation at gmail.com. You can also donate through the website, right?
A quick edit. It's donations. We had to add an S on.
Oh, okay.
You mean somebody else had donation?
Yeah, they're not even using it. It's just like a taken bot domain.
Ah, jerks.
Ugh, silly.
Donations at gmail.com. What's the website then again?
Oh, wait. I thought we were talking about the website. Okay. Donation at gmail.com and then donations.com. There we go.
Donation, no S, at gmail.com. Donations.com.
Yep.
All right. Great job by you.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for coming
much.
On. Appreciate it very much. All right. Hold the line. There you go.
I can definitely tell
nice girl.
You when I was 20, I was not thinking about, I think I want a position where I can cut through administrative red tape so I can deal directly with the kids and get food in there. I mean, that's a really impressive.
Yeah, I was at U of I. All I could think of was cams.
Yeah.
I'm thinking at 20, I was already working while you guys were sloughing off. And I was thinking about whether or not I could talk up Steeler's wheel stuck in the middle with you.
The Allison's a good example.
I don't know why I came here tonight, Madison.
I can't remember she's not a millennial, 20-year-old now. They're called a different group, but how that important part of being socially conscious, you know, how they all want to work at places that really do something, give back to the community. You know,
yeah, that's a millennial thing, too.
Yeah, but I mean, she's even the younger group.
But what's that called, that new generation?
I don't know.
It's Gen something.
I believe it's remember. Maybe Gen Y?
Aren't we Gen Y?
No. Is it Jen Cookie Dough?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, just back from Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, by the way, we're going to play Fact or Fiction in just a second. If you want to play, 312-981-7200 is the number. John will give you a fact. It could be fact, could be fiction. Could be new facts. Could be old fiction. Factor of fiction, 312-981-7200 is the number.
And just a tip from the last time we played, I wouldn't use Steve Cochran as your lifeline because he was incorrect on pretty much every one we played last
time. But I was super confident.
You were very confident.
Yeah, yes. That's the thing. I was disappointed in only one thing in Charleston. I did not see a Piggly Wiggly the entire time I was there. Other than that, the town is still... I lived there for a couple years in the 80s. And the town is still beautiful, historic, amazing. The people could not be nicer. Stayed at a place called Isle of Palms, you know, with the beach right there. I'm not a big beach guy. Maureen is. She ran on the beach every morning. I did not. And it looks like there's only 3 Piggly Wigglies left in Charleston. And why do I bring that up? Well, because Piggly Wiggly is the first thing I encountered when I went to Charleston in 1983. I moved from New York to Charleston, South Carolina. And I think I might even have had a Yankees hat on as I walked into the Piggly Wiggly, and a guy said, "Ha! How you doing?" And New York people don't do that. So I was frightened, and I punched him. No, very quickly, life slows down to a southern pace, and it was great. But I was really looking forward to a lot of deep southern accents, found almost none. Charleston's gotten very cosmopolitan. Went to a great restaurant called Snob, S-N-O-B. There's a street there called Broad Street, and Snob stands for slightly north of Broad. Just great southern cooking, and had some grits. I don't like grits, yeah. But I had grits. And the waitress grew up in South Carolina, no accent. I didn't hear anybody say, "I'm cutting off the lights and I'm going to Piggly Wiggly," because they can't anymore, because there's only 3 Piggly Wigglies.
I was in a Piggly Wiggly a week and a half ago, and I'm not kidding.
Where?
Kenosha.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They do have in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, well, do they have a southern accent?
They're not
yes,
the same.
Yes, they do. They were like, "I can't believe you made it up from Chicago."
They're not the same in Wisconsin.
You came from way south.
But Charleston, if you get a chance to go to Charleston, it's absolutely beautiful. It's one of my favorite places.
Did you go to any historic plantation places or anything like that?
Nah, plantations, no. Oh, no, but so cool. We spent time on the Battery.
Did you go to the women's tennis tournament that was being held?
I was out in the burbs. Did not go to that.
Okay.
But they had the Cooper River Bridge Run. This is the third largest 10K in the world on Sunday morning.
Oh, did
just
you run?
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people running the Cooper River Bridge. Now, when I lived there, The Cooper River Bridge was somebody's going to die if they cross the Cooper River Bridge. It's like this old rickety bridge. It was actually built out of pipe cleaners. You know, it's amazing that they could actually support cars then, but it was that flimsy. And you literally, you went up on the bridge. Bridges don't bother me, but you get up on top of this bridge and you go, don't look either way. I think it was two lanes in either direction with no median. And like a little tiny rail on either side, so it'd be very easy to drive off the edge, do a Chappaquiddick. This beautiful new bridge has replaced it. So there's some changes in Charleston, but the great thing about Charleston is it's so historic, you can't change much. And a lot of the places that were there are there, including our first apartment.
Did you take a picture in front of it?
No.
That's the thing to do, yeah. Steve.
No, the neighborhood's a little dicey.
Is it landmarked?
Who cares how dicey it is?
Well,
can you take a picture right in front of your plaque?
It was dicey enough where I only slowed down.
Okay.
Did you? You, of course, had a Charleston chew.
That's actually not from there.
Wait, Mary asked if you and Maureen ran in the race.
Maureen did not. I did not. You had to pre-register. Okay. Otherwise, obviously, Mary, I would have.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You're such in great shape. No, you could have.
I could have, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Did you and Maureen do the Charleston dance?
Yes, that also was done. Yeah, you have to get into the city. There's custom agents right at the border.
Like a cover charge.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Did you go for seafood?
Yeah, first thing. Mm-hmm. Get into town, you go for seafood. At seafood almost at every meal. Yeah, so it's great.
Great seafood there.
It's a great weekend place to go.
Is it a girly place to go? I mean, or is it,
it's
a
great
lot
shopping.
Of girls' weekends?
Yeah, it's great shopping. The Charleston Market, which was the old slave market, not a great marketing tool now, the downtown Charleston Market is about 6, 7, 8 blocks. I think it's about 8 blocks of people just selling their stuff. Some of it's junk. Some of it's kind of cool.
Did you buy anything?
Nope, because I didn't find anything that was kind of cool for me. I was looking for a birthday present, actually, for John. Didn't find anything. And every time I saw something cute for Abigail, I wanted to buy it. Maureen said, no, it's not, that's dumb. We're not buying that. I didn't know it was dumb until I was told it was dumb.
Yeah, that's a good thing Maureen was there.
But she's found some cool stuff. Anyway, I couldn't recommend Charleston more highly. All right, let's go. And I get nothing for that other than to tell you I love that town. Pat is in Park Ridge. We're going to start with you, Pat. Here's the way the game works, Pat. John's going to give
you
a fact or hi there. John's going to give you a fact or fiction. You have to tell us which
fact
one it
fiction,
is.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction.
Here is today's. You got a theme?
I have a theme.
Yes. Let's hear it now.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple game shall cause a mass addiction. The cause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
And that's original music, right?
That is original.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yes. All right, back to Pat.
Here you go, Pat. You ready?
Yes, I
fact
am.
Fact or fiction. The average cloud weighs over 1 million pounds.
let's go for fact.
No, it's got to be fiction. It's got to be fiction.
It's a fact.
What?
Oh, right.
It's a fact. Way to go.
The clouds are puffy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sorry. There is fog in Charleston. I walk through fog. Fog is a cloud.
Heavy
a
moisture content. It's over 1 million pounds.
Have you been on a plane going through a cloud and you feel it on the plane?
No.
It's 1 million pounds of pressure.
Hey, Pat, you're a big winner. Thanks for not listening to me.
Pat is going
to
get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Aaron's in Romeoville. Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Doing well.
All right, get ready to play. Here we go.
Here you go, Aaron. Chicago Bears, oldest football team in the NFL, celebrating 100 years. Their second game ever against the Canton Bulldogs was interrupted over the loudspeaker when President Taft's daughter had been killed on the Titanic the night before.
Oh, Lord.
Fiction.
I'm going to have to use a lifeline for this one.
Fiction.
Steve Cochran thinks he knows, you're getting but I wouldn't trust
fiction.
Him.
Fiction.
Steve
think about
fiction?
It. 100 years, the Titanic went down in 1912. 100 years of the Bears, that'd be 19, I would think. Fiction.
All right. I'm There's a little bug in my ear telling me fiction, so I'm going to go with fiction.
Sweet. Good move. Yes. Ah. Yes. Absolutely fake.
Ding, ding, ding.
You came through for me. Thank you.
Aaron, you're a big winner. Hold on.
Have a loudspeaker.
What did Aaron win?
A Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
All right. And one more Steve in West Dundee. Steve.
How you doing, my namesake?
What's up, my Steve brother? there you go. Fact or fiction.
Okay. Ted Cruz is actually younger than Gwen Stefani. Fact or fiction?
But that's horrible.
Gwen Stefani.
You know, they're both terrible people.
I know. That's actually, I had a, that was fun.
Yeah. Gwen Stefani, I think, is 48.
I think she's about, yeah, I was going to say like 46, 48. Ted Cruz, he's just creepy in general, so.
Yeah, he's a ferret. Is this in ferret years or people years?
We go ferret.
Well, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's so weird. It sounds like a fact, but I don't know.
It does. That's the problem. That's the problem. You know what? I'll go with fact.
It is. It's true. Ted Cruz is younger than Gwen Stefani.
How old ding,
is
ding, Ted ding.
Cruz? God, that's
about
creepy.
A year and a half between them.
You're going to get an app gift
really?
Card.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve.
Oh, it's awesome.
Steve Name Brothers, or whatever you called each other.
My name brother.
Hey, bro.
I thought we were both going to Charleston again together.
Yeah, why not? We'll have a good time. All right, buddy.
That'd be great.
All the Steves.
What are you doing?
An app gift card.
Congratulations to Pat, Aaron, and Steve for playing Fact or Fiction. Fact. We're back with the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and Steve next. Congratulations, Grandpa. Grandpa DeCastro. Dude used to run this joint. I think he's homeless now. I don't know what happened to him. But his lovely daughter, Shannon, and his delightful son-in-law, Ricky, have a brand new baby boy, Theodore David Barnett.
And then he said TD.
Touchdown.
T.D. Barnett, which is a great name.
Well, he's a great grandfather, and I don't mean that in an old way. And congratulations.
Didn't name him Steve? Because that's what I would shocked. Have expected.
A little shocked. That's what the Vegas money was on.
Yeah.
All of America's talking about it. Mary Vandeveld's big, big win in the WGN Steve Cochran Show Brackets Pickoff. It's a name what? I just invented. The Pickoff.
The Pickoff?
Yeah, the Pickoff. Yeah.
Pickoff?
Well, that took a lot of research, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We focus grouped it.
The Pickoff.
The Pickoff. Congratulations, Mary Vandeveld. Big win for you.
Thanks. Did you write a song for me, John?
He did not, but I have the cliche question I can ask you, and it goes like this. Mary, what was going through your mind when you found out that you won? That's the big sportscaster cliche now. Everybody asks what was going through your mind.
I know. And it's like, I don't know.
Okay. I never asked that.
No, you don't.
That is
the
one
other
of the
chumps
dumbest
do.
Questions people ask.
And they all ask it.
Yeah, and they do. Because they don't know what's going through their minds. That's why.
They don't have a mind. Congratulations on your big win.
I thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Very exciting.
John, you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I'm actually going to introduce this. I have to give a big shout out here to Dave Ennett, who came up with this idea. We did this as a surprise.
Surprise for who?
For you, actually. In lieu of
have
the
you
fact
met
that we
me?
Had, yeah, yeah, I know.
You know how much I love surprises.
Hey, I got 5 seconds. Okay. In lieu of the NCAA tournament and just the show in general, we put together this song for you.
Show begins, but where are you? You're running right on time. Yeah, it's 6:22, 35 years plus. Make a pro like you. But that button that you pushed, now we can't hear no.
Here's the second free throw attempt by Cochran. He clangs it off the back iron, no good. Cochran goes up for the rebound. He lost the ball out of bounds. Here's a wide open 15-footer for Cochran. Where's he going with that one? Cochran's got a wide open three for the win. No good. Are you kidding me?
It's one Cochran moment, white lightning the ride. One Cochran moment, Joe's fit. Madigan calls you daily on the phone, but something you should know, crickets are his ringtone. NCAA. Great picks, good luck. Now everybody knows just how much you suck.
The sleeper out of the West. You like Buffalo?
But you like Yale at all?
Now, Duke's coming out of the East region. It's hard to imagine that anybody will beat him. Do you agree or disagree? In the Midwest, North Carolina, hard to beat? Wofford. And that's a good team.
They're
the toughest,
they're pretty good team.
Toughest team ever to be called the Terriers. I got a chance to get through at least tonight, maybe tomorrow morning before it's over.
For sure?
Yeah, I just looked at mine.
It's one Cochran moment, delusional. Throat, hacking cough fest begins, and we're all well aware was a band you were in. You're looking great, lost weight and joy, but your head now makes you look like a bobblehead toy. It's one Cochran moment, a great morning show. One Cochran moment we knew. One Cochran moment on 720.
How much fun did you have putting that little ditty together?
So much fun.
And how much fun did the staff have contributing lines and ideas?
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, Dave made those recordings for me, and I'm telling you, I laughed just hearing the recording.
Well, that was actual play-by-play.
That was...
Where was he going with that one?
Where was he going with that one?
See, now, I pulled your picks, but I had no idea that this was going to be used in, you know, this kind of fashion.
I know. You wouldn't be a part of this.
How many people can say they have phlegm mentioned in a song?
That's sweet of you. Yeah, that's sweet of you. I tell you what, you talk for 4 hours. By the way, Abigail beat me in the family pool.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she's 3.5.
If you could just say a shout out to Christopher, John DeCasa's son.
That's an amazing song.
Because he had to learn to play it because they couldn't find any audio without the lyrics.
Wow.
Yeah, we could use the intro, and then he had to dub and then play the guitar.
Figure out the one shiny moment.
Everything else and put it in.
It's really good. I'm sorry you learned that.
Yeah.
I know. No, it's very interesting.
Thank you,
very
Dave.
Very funny.
Emmett.
No, that was very, Dave very Emmett. Funny. Really enjoyed it.
And you know, and the real one shining moment was on too late for a lot of people. So I think you finally, you kind of get the idea of what you missed.
Well, they should have just done that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe they did.
Absolutely.
By the way, the WGN radio pool, sales took the top 3 positions. Just saying.
Drunks. Why don't you get out and sell something? Texter from the 219, like a bobblehead toy, best line ever. 312, phlegm in your throat. First time that phrase been used in a song? ? 312.
Yes. As Mary Sandberg pointed out.
Phlegm in your throat, is that a band you were in?
I was in a punk band called Phlegm. Okay, pay attention. The brutal winter's finally over, and before you know it, the unbeatable heat will be here. Prepare for whatever the summer brings with a Train air conditioner. It's an air conditioner heating system. An air conditioner, you know what it is? It's an air conditioning system is what it is. A lot
Sounds
of people
amazing.
Don't know that. There's no name in HVAC more trusted than Train, and when you buy from App, Chicagoland's largest Train dealer.
I just ordered a dishwasher from App yesterday.
That's not what we're talking about right now.
I know. I want that air conditioner, too. I also got a dishwasher. It's coming on third.
But your husband never get disappointed that he can't excite you this way?
Yeah, he does not know about the dishwasher either. So.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm hoping
Don't
he doesn't.
Think he'll notice?
I think, unfortunately, he's going to.
You know you're getting a guaranteed low price, award-winning service, and 24-hour emergency support. Call 847-544-2284. Visit app today to learn more about Train AC products, T-R-A-N-E. App, pleasing people. since 1936.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Out of my dreams.
This is a great, most valuable person. Well, they're all great. It's a very moving story. Gary Rosenberg joins us. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks for coming on. You had a sheriff's officer, a deputy, killed in Rockford, right?
Yes, sir.
Serving a warrant, just doing his job. And you run a local car dealership?
I do. I own Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep.
And you're trying to help the family of that sheriff's deputy who died earlier this month while trying to execute that warrant. Just moved by the story, I guess, right?
Absolutely. It was touching because I found out that a guy just bought a car from us, the family did, about 2 years earlier, had a balance. And they only live about a mile from the dealership.
So what did you decide to do?
I decided to pay off their car loan.
You're a good man. You're a good man. Your wife, or I should say Keltner's wife, Becky, wanted to meet you, I guess, right?
Yes, sir. She decided to come in and meet me. That was a very moving moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not cry at that? Come on.
We had tears, both of us.
Your salespeople. The way we found out about this, your salespeople put this up on social media.
Leave it to my salesman to go on social media like everybody else today.
Yeah, and you're going, hey, sell some cars.
Because that's the thing. Gary did this without, he weren't looking to get recognized or
just doing the right thing.
He just wanted to take care of the family.
I'm past 60 years old. I don't do a whole lot on social media.
How's the family doing? I mean, I'm sure it's just one day at a time, but, you know, these type of things got to help.
They're very quiet, very quiet with me that day. It was just touching. We talked about just going forward and making life a little easier for her.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And now you're connected for life, so because I know you'll keep looking in on her. You're a good man. Hey, you know what? Plug the business. Where are you?
I'm on Route 31 and 176 in Crystal Lake.
All right. And what's it called again?
Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep and Dodge.
There's a good man to buy a car from. Thank you for being on, pal. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That's a good area. There's a lot happening on that. Yeah, so you can do a lot of things. Hit up a Panera, maybe rock around the clock. It's a diner. They can get food there. Go buy a car.
Pick up a car or two.
Jeep dealership.
Yeah. Gary Rosenberg. What a nice thing to do.
That was really kind.
Yeah, really nice. And a terrible story. Bringing a little sunshine into that life, the family's life, which you can't imagine how tough things are for them right now. It's 7:28. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Do we need a break before we get to the headlines? We'll do that right now on 7:20 WGN.
Felicity Huffman, one of 14 defendants on Monday who agreed to plead guilty to using bribery and mail fraud to get their children admitted into selective schools. In a statement, the 56-year-old broke her silence about the ordeal, saying, "I want to apologize to the students who work hard every day to get into college and to their parents who make tremendous sacrifices to support their children and do so honestly. I am in full acceptance of my guilt, and with deep regret and shame over what I've done, I accept full responsibility for my actions and will accept the consequences that stem from those actions."
Please rise. Court is now in session.
I mean, that seems like the right move, right? Karen Conti does the lawyer thing. That's her full-time gig, and then on a weekend she hangs out and does a little radio show here on Sunday nights, and she's got other projects that she's always working on here and there. She's got Karen Conti on Ice. She's got Karen Conti, the Broadway show.
I think she has her own line of vodka coming out.
Yeah, she has Karen Conti vodka. I mean, it's all on the way. What time's the radio show?
Radio show is on Sunday nights from 7 to 9.
Thanks for coming on in this special edition of Karen Conti. All right, so Felicity Huffman, I mean, to me, she did the right thing. She came out and said, look, I did it. I screwed up. I'm a terrible person for doing that, and people work hard to get the kids through school, and I'm sorry. Is that going to help her?
Oh, absolutely. It was the right thing to do. It was the right thing from a moral standpoint. It was the right thing to do from a legal standpoint. You know, she by doing this, when you are sentenced for these types of crimes, a lot of things come into play. First of all, your criminal background, she doesn't have one, so she's got that going for her. She's taken responsibility. That's a big deal. That's under the federal sentencing guidelines. You can give somebody a great break if they accept responsibility, and there's two things to this. She's made the statement that accepts full responsibility, not any of these kinds of like half apologies, like I'm sorry you feel this way and that kind of stuff. This was, no, I did it. What I did was wrong, and I'm ashamed of it, and I shouldn't have done it. And, It's, you know, she explained it. It was a great apology. And she's going to plead guilty, which means the government doesn't have to spend money going to trial, which can also be factored into giving her a lighter sentence. So good move. I think if I were her lawyer, I would have advised her to do just this.
Karen, the group that agreed to plead guilty, they all have different attorneys. Did they get together and say, hey, we're going to all plead guilty? Like, why are these 13 together?
Yeah, you know, I think maybe there was some idea that the lawyers consulted with each other and tried to get a deal together so that there'd be more powerful message here. I mean, when all of these people plead guilty together, it seems more powerful to me that, you know, right, that now it's not just one person saying they did wrong. It's all of these people. So maybe it was a group deal, and maybe the government gave everybody the same offer. Hey, listen, if you plead guilty and send a message, you know, we'll all get you together and we'll get this done. And some of them accepted and some of them didn't. And, you know, again, wouldn't you want to get this done? If you're a celebrity like Felicity Huffman, you hope you have a career left. You may not, but if you do, get it done, apologize, and then maybe people will forget. So,
and the relationship with her daughter, I mean, she seems clearly apologetic and upset that she is... She's breached that trust.
No, she should be.
Yeah, and so maybe getting that done personally is better, too, just for, you know, so they can start working.
Well, and having all the people together in that 13 cluster there, that'd be a lack of class action suit.
See what I did there? All right, so does that mean the others weren't offered the same deal? Because we haven't heard anything about Aunt Becky.
Oh, you know, they may have been offered the same deal but didn't take it, but they may not have been, because we have some other ones that have a lot more money that they paid. So the sentencing guidelines, they're really interesting because they provide a minimum sentence and then a maximum sentence. Then in between, there's all these factors so you can consider to give them a sentence. And the amount of money involved drives the sentence way up. So, you know, I think there was one, Lori Loughlin, if I'm saying her name right, I think she paid $500,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's a lot of money. So that's going to drive the sentence up. So it could be that the government said to her, I'm not going to give you this sweet deal because you have way too much money involved in this, and I can't give you a lighter sentence. So she could be fighting it for that very reason.
And she has not apologized. As an attorney, is it possible that her attorney is advising her not to say anything until they have a better handle on things?
Absolutely, because if they're saying the least that we're going to give you is 5 years, I'm just making that number up, you know, she might say, I might go to trial on that. I don't want to go to jail for 5 years. I'll take my chances at trial. So, or maybe she's still cutting a deal with them. We just don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
When that list was released yesterday of the people that pled guilty, the range was the low end, which was Felicity at $15,000, up to $400,000, somebody on that, some dad played. And then they said that Felicity could be looking at 4 months to 10 months, probably realistically.
This is the original group of 13.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, the one that from yesterday. So if you're saying, Karen, the person that paid $400,000 would give a longer sentence range?
Generally speaking, yes. Unless there's a deal cut. But yes, that money is going to drive that sentence. You know, one of the interesting things here is that I didn't understand until today is that William Macy, the husband of Felicity, was named in the indictment but not charged, so that there was evidence apparently that he was involved in this scheme too. And my question, you know, is why was she charged and why wasn't he charged? And the only answer I could come up with is that, you know, they didn't want to charge both parents, so they didn't want to put both parents behind bars at the same time, which they try not to do. But it is interesting that they nabbed her and not him.
Well, what I have seen through the course of this story developing is he was on a phone call with her at one point with the mastermind of this whole scam. And, you know, the fact he's on a phone call tied him to the story. Other than that, she was the one dealing with the guy, and she was the one that executed payment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that could be. And again, the government does have some sort of heart, and they don't generally like to charge both parents. If you recall, with the Jesse Jackson case, and his wife was also charged, they allowed them to serve jail time, at different times, so that their kids could be taken care of. So it could be that would have been overkill to get both of them, but still very interesting.
Except for Massimo and Lori are both going down, but I think they were a lot more involved.
Yeah, that's the $500,000 category.
Yeah,
it's like a bad game show.
Yeah, having your kids act like they're on a crew team and whatnot.
I'm totally on a crew team. Yeah. All right, so what are the chances Felicity Huffman, after doing this really legitimate apology, and being the $15,000 with no range, with no criminal record, what are the chances she still goes to jail?
I my guess is she's not going to jail. Or if she does, it's going to be for a very short period of time. But that would be my guess. And again, you know, you can manipulate these federal sentencing guidelines. You can cut all kinds of deals. And because she came out and because she's a celebrity and she made this statement, it should have more impact because people listen and look, you know, it was in the New York Times. It was all over the news this morning. And, you know, you have someone who's admitting to the wrongdoing. And I think that's powerful. And I think the government could reward her for that.
You know, it's funny, like so many things, the rules are the things that need to be adjusted here. And the guy who was at the center of this scam is the guy that needs to be hammered the hardest. And I'm sure he will be at some point. But we focus on the famous names because that's who we know, right?
Well, that's right. And, you know, some of these people at the colleges, to me, are very culpable.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that was their job to put people into the school who are worthy and qualified and those people, to me, are culpable. But the fact that the parents did is obviously wrong, but you could see how people are motivated so strongly by making sure their kids are taken care of that they could cross a line. I mean, not that it's right, but you could see how people do that. When you're charged with doing the right thing and you're paid very well and by a school to do the right thing, that to me is just more culpability there.
All right, I got another story for you, completely different. Business Insider is a legitimate journalist's haven and a place where people write, you know, true stories. Otherwise, this would look like a National Enquirer story. A woman went to Reddit, and, you know, listen, if you're going on Reddit to figure out your problems, you probably have bigger problems. But she turned to Reddit to ask if she was out of line for considering a divorce when she found out that her husband of 8 years fathered 47 children through a sperm bank. Now, this was the movie we talked about last week. Sandberg, remember that we were talking about
last week? I'm trying to think of the name.
I think it was called The Sperm Donor. No, I don't know what it's called.
No, we were.
is there any precedent for that rings a bell with you that somebody got a divorce on those
grounds?
Delivery Man, that was it. Okay. Starring Vince Vaughn.
Okay. Okay, so what you're asking that you.
Have you ever heard of any sort of precedent where that existed? Where, you know, I'm getting a divorce because I just found out my husband fathered a bunch of kids being a sperm donor.
I mean, that sounds like a joke to me.
Right, doesn't it?
I mean, you know, in this day and age, you don't really need to have a reason to get divorced. Reconcilable differences is all you really need to say, which means I don't get along. You don't have to prove that someone fathered 47 children out of wedlock to qualify for that, but it just sounds like a funny inquiry. Am I out of line? Is that sort of a legal question or is that a moral question?
Yeah, I suppose it's both, right? Because from what I'm hearing you say, you can basically, like you were when a kid, you can just call it. You can call it. I called it. I'm getting a divorce because of irreconcilable differences. I called it. That's all you have to do.
I guess.
Okay. 47 kids. He was very busy. He needed some money. He was putting himself through college or something.
Yeah. As strange as that is, we've seen that over the years where, I mean, there was a fertility doctor in the Chicago area that was doing that. It was inseminating his own sperm just because he thought his was superior. But, you know, it's a strange thing.
47, that means 47 people chose his amazing profile, right?
So
he must have really sounded great.
But you talk about the ultimate Tinder or Match.com. Everybody lies on a profile.
Yeah, they should tell you, though, like, hey, this guy's a high choose rate, so your child's going to have, you know, 47 siblings out there. You know,
speaking from an adoptee standpoint, at some point do those 47 kids go, I want to meet my 46 brothers and sisters?
Yeah, that's
which, again, was the Vince Vaughn movie.
Or they're like walking at the mall and they see two people look just exactly like them.
See, and I don't know how often you can donate. Dave, how often can you donate at a sperm bank?
It might only be one donation. Doesn't a lot of sperm come out in one emission?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that does happen that way. But I don't know how long they're good for.
I should, but I don't.
This was a family show before this conversation started.
This is all medical talk.
That's a question I've never been asked on WGN radio before.
Right. How often can you donate sperm? It's all in Business Insider. And what that has to do with business, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I've done a search now, and I'm being blocked from our work, so I can't tell you the answer to the...
Oh, really? The filters here won't let you look up sperm donation?
Kind of. Well, maybe it's the way I phrased it.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Karen Conti, what time are you on the radio again?
I'm on the radio from 7 to 9 on Sunday evening.
And what do we do to call you at the office?
312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
Enjoy the day. Got a bunch of good news stories and stories that make you cry and stuff, but they're good stories. Anyway, we'll get to some of that coming up. Super Joe, do you have a White Sox trivia question for me here as the number one White Sox fan on this show that we could do right now, then we could give away tickets?
I sure do.
All right.
We're going to give away a family pack of four tickets to an upcoming Chicago White Sox game. Tune in every Monday at 7:50. But because of yesterday's situation at Batavia High School, we moved it today, which is Tuesday at 7:50, for a chance to win White Sox tickets. Visit whitesox.com for schedule and ticket information.
So, ready for the question?
I'm ready.
Avi Garcia made his return to Guaranteed Rate Field yesterday. He spent parts of six seasons with the White Sox. He was acquired in 2013 as part of a three-team deal. Which other two teams were involved in the trade?
The other two teams involved in the Avi Garcia deal. Were they the Brooklyn Dodgers and the St. Louis Browns?
You're not answering.
No, those teams don't exist.
I know. I'm just reminding you.
312-981-7200 is the number. Let's take a break, come back, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where you'll find Steve next. All right, Joe, the question was what?
The White Sox acquired Avi Garcia in a three-team deal back in 2013. Who are the other two teams that were involved in the trade?
We go to George in Orland Park, who's mowing his lawn. George, what's the answer?
It's the Red Sox and the Tigers.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 George. You're a big winner. Get back to mowing your lawn. What did George win?
He's going to go to some White Sox game in the near future. He got a family pack of four tickets, and you can tune in every Monday at 7:50 for a chance to win a four-pack. Visit whitesox.com for schedule and ticket information.
You know, John Williams doing a morning show yesterday. I don't know how often he's done it since he used to do the morning show, but for those of you who have forgotten, in the dark days when WGN was on the dark side of the moon, the Kevin Matheny era, I turned on the morning show after Spike several times because Tom Langmuir was running this radio station into the ground at that point. And then John took the morning show. John was never given a fair shot to make this morning show fly. And he did a great job in, what, 9 months, Dave?
Yeah, like just about, I think.
9, 10 months that he was doing it. And he was replaced by, well, it doesn't matter. There were a few blips in the on the radar before, you know, we figured things out. But it was, yeah, I'm sure it was good to hear Williams back on a morning show.
He has this habit of cueing me before there's a commercial.
Oh.
Yeah, he giving me a physical cue.
Something that goes back to when he did the show?
Yeah, but
I
don't really
need... At one point, he got out of your spot, Steve, and he walked around, and he was cueing Dave next to Dave.
Like standing next to me and cue me. Now, you don't normally cue me for stuff.
I don't have that kind of energy.
Yeah, we kind of know what we're doing, so it was a little awkward.
And John stands the whole time,
He does
too.
Stand, yeah. Yeah.
But nothing wrong with that, but no.
Is that the closest you've ever come to punching the host?
No, that's not hardly.
Yeah.
Hardly.
Because I remember when you punched Roy.
No, I never punched Roy. But there have been a few.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Scheduled to bring back Moron Entertainment after a couple of days away today. Even though Dean Richards is off, Dean was supposed to be on with us by phone because he was going to do it from his house. So I'm texting Dean now. Dean.
You know,
are on the air right now. I'm texting him. We are on the air right now. How many exclamation points? Like five?
I that's overdoing it.
And then put the little radio on microphone emoji.
That's good.
Could you call? Could you call soon? Very soon.
Maybe you could have called him by now,
Mary.
Well, we tried calling Mary. He's not answering.
All right, let me look for a couple of emojis here, as was suggested. Thumbs up? No.
No.
Which ones do you like?
Maybe a lightning bolt.
Hmm.
Or wind? Maybe the wind blowing thing.
You know, when I type in a word, it just kind of pops up as an emoji. So just type in moron and see if anything pops up.
Well, it's funny. I rarely use emojis, and I'm just scrolling through them now.
No, nothing pops up.
How about a watermelon wedge? Would that work here at all?
Yes. Yeah, that fits. Mm. Is it seedless?
Can't tell.
Whatever you do, don't put an eggplant, though.
Tennis racket?
Or a peach?
Man, there's a lot here. Headphones? Headphones?
Yeah, those work.
Or a radio? How about headphones, a microphone, a radio? And then to throw him off, a telephone, because I'm waiting for him to call.
Maybe a watch.
Let's see. And then is there a picture of my head exploding as an emoji? Is that in here anywhere?
You could put the coffin emoji and then also the air emoji for dead air.
You sure know your emojis.
Man. Yeah, you're like an emoji god.
I know, right?
Well, if you type in volcano... Steve, a little volcano pops up.
How about a pirate flag? I put a pirate flag in here as well.
That's good.
Yeah, there's a lot of flags of nations. Okay. All right, and send.
don't hit send, I've told you.
Yesterday we had on, since Dean was off, we had Tanner Thomason on from ET. You know, we like to go with the Entertainment Tonight people. And we talked about the Avenger stars doing stuff for kids. So that the superheroes being actual real-life superheroes.
And I bet his name is Tanner Thomason. I bet that really is his name.
His Instagram is the Gram of Tan.
Oh, God. Dean, did you get my text?
I did. I just noticed it.
Did you get all the emojis I sent, too?
Let me see if I can decipher the emojis. There appears to be headphones.
Yep, headphones.
Microphone, yeah, radio.
Because we're on a radio.
Yeah. Telephone.
Telephone, because I was waiting for you to call.
Then another telephone.
Yep, two telephones.
Different kind of telephone. Then it appears to be a skull and crossbones.
That's a pirate flag, because I just thought you'd like it, because it was cool.
Yeah. I like pirates.
And the pirates are in town.
Some listeners on the text line are suggesting that possibly Dean was in the restroom. And that
Dean was in the restroom. Dean's off today. He's nice enough to join us.
Exactly. The whole day is a restroom for me.
I'm going to send you more emojis, though. I'm not an emoji guy. I'm just discovering all the emojis on my phone because I never use them.
While you're sending emojis, we have not talked to Dean since Wednesday.
Oh, my God. What happened?
I know. So there's a...
I've been worldwide, Steve, over the last... I've been from coast to coast, back and forth, up and down, here and there.
Were you in New York or L.A. the last time I talked to you?
I was... I think I was in New York.
You were in New York on Wednesday, yeah.
I was in New York, but I can't remember where we last talked.
You were playing with the dinosaurs.
That's right.
Scary dinosaurs, yes.
Just like the pirates.
Yeah.
I go anywhere where there's growling.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dean, I know
you know me. I love growling.
I know you're going to get to celebrity news, but John DeCoste penned it was a national championship last night.
Yeah.
And that song, One Shining Moment.
Yes.
He and Dave Bennett put together a One Cochran moment that is a must listen, and it's up it's on the website, and I'm going to share it with you. It's a regular song length, and it is fantastic.
It's not fantastic. It's very hurtful, and it's personal and cutting. Okay, it's pretty funny.
I don't suppose we could hear it now.
No, it's about 14 minutes long.
Oh, it's the Anna Gata DeVita of hurtful songs.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We
have to go to the bathroom.
Hey, have you ever been to Charleston, South Carolina?
I never have.
You should go. I mean, like right now.
That's where I was going when the phone rang.
Martin and I went there this weekend and had like a four-day weekend there. And, we lived there in the 80s. By the way, I was a huge deal in that town in 83 and 84. Do you think anybody recognized me?
No, not a one.
Actually, two people, both from Chicago visiting.
Oh, that's nice. That's all that matters. Yeah. Here's how I picture you living in living there, dressed like Clark Gable in Gone with the Wind.
Right. That's me. That's me. That's me. I had a tiny thin mustache, and I wear a bolo tie and a white suit and a hat everywhere.
Yeah, and a walking stick.
Yes. And by the way, I had 7 white suits and hats. I had one for each day of the week.
You can never have enough. You know, they soil easily.
Yeah.
So, Dean, Maureen and Steve drove by their original apartment, you know, but they didn't get out and take a picture.
That's a crime. It's a very dangerous neighborhood.
That's an Instagram moment right there.
Well, what, me getting shot?
You're not going to get shot in Charleston.
I have found in going past old homes that usually just a quick little drive-by suffices.
I thought it was cool. Maureen was kind of creeped out by it. I go, what are you creeped out by? We lived here.
Right.
You know? And our dog, Cleo, who lived to be a beach mutt. Her mother was a slut.
I had a dog named Cleo when I was a kid.
And not the same dog, I don't think.
I think it was the same dog.
Cleo was 16 or 17 when she died.
Wow.
And Cleo could talk. Like a person could talk.
Okay.
Like we come home from somewhere and Cleo would go, row, 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 which obviously is where have you been?
Oh, okay.
I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
All right, are you awake now?
I've been awake for hours.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I give you time.
I've been awake for hours. I appreciate that. I wonder why you're so chatty today.
I was just tap dancing while you got your acts together.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I've been up since 4 o'clock.
Oh, fantastic.
For some reason.
All right, so let's come back and talk a little show business. I'll fire some topics at you, as I often do.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Let's go back to Dean now, live in his underpants from his house. When are you going back to work?
I'll be back tomorrow, and I can't wait.
I bet you're excited about it. Hey, I sent you some more emojis.
Let me describe some of them. Okay. A camel. Mm-hmm. Camel emoji. There are various finger gestures.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of them say you're number one.
Yeah. A donut. Mm-hmm. There's a golf tee or whatever you call it, flag thing.
It's a flag stick.
A flag stick, as you call it in the golf world.
Yes.
There appear to be some farm animals.
Yes, because you're a farmer.
There's lightning.
Lightning, right. That's for Tom Skilling.
Clouds. There's some clouds.
That's also for Skilling.
And there's a watermelon. There's a watermelon and a carrot.
Yes. Did you see the carousel pony there, the little horsey?
A carousel pony. Let's see. Oh, yeah. It's very small. It's hard to see.
Yeah, that's because Abigail likes the carousel.
Yeah. I sent you back a few minutes ago a paper clip, some musical notes, the flag of some country that I don't know because there's so many flags, and some other symbols that I don't know.
Once again, Dean and I have just discovered emojis, just today.
I was on my MySpace account, and the kids were telling me about it.
All right, item number one. Rosie O'Donnell says she deeply regrets participating in the View's tell-all book. And now you talk.
Is that the whole story right there?
Well, I think because she did that thing where she said she had a crush on, what's her name?
Elizabeth.
Yeah. What's Elizabeth's last name?
Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck said that she was very embarrassed by the whole thing. Why couldn't you just take it as a compliment? Why do you have to be embarrassed?
She's difficult, Elizabeth. She's a difficult human.
Well, and Rosie is saying that it's her biggest regret, that participating in this book is her biggest regret. Really?
Yeah.
Of all the things that she's said and done?
Yeah, there's a lot of things to regret.
This is the biggest thing?
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
She says she did it because her publicist wanted her to do it, and but she says now it's her biggest regret for doing that. Did you see on The View yesterday, Meghan McCain and Joy Behar got into a little thing.
You know what the funniest thing about that sentence is? Did you see The View yesterday? Actually, I did not. No.
Do you never watch The View?
Actually, I miss The View quite regularly.
Every once in a while I do catch it, but I saw online that Meghan McCain and Joy Behar they frequently get into like really nasty little things. And
you should ask Bill Leff about it today because he watches it religiously.
Yeah, he does. Bill Leff watches The View every day.
Now you got to send Dean a cat emoji.
Yes. Oh, good idea. Let me do that. Hey, Dean, do you know about the Eurovision Song Contest?
Oh, it's one of the biggest song contests in the world. It's where that's where the group ABBA was discovered.
Every country puts up a song representing their country.
I'm going this year.
Sometimes it's a pop star. You win. Sometimes it's a pop star. Sometimes it's an amateur who's won a contest, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Israel this year is having Madonna perform in the Eurovision Song Contest. By the way, I watched this at Paul Coit's house in London one year.
Right.
This is the cheesiest, dopiest talent show you'll ever see in your life, and everyone in Europe watches it. You ever want to take over a country in Europe? Do it the night of the Eurovision Song Contest.
I was in Greece one year when the Eurovision contest was going on, and it was like walking through the streets of Chicago when the Super Bowl was on.
It's unbelievable.
When the Bears were in the Super Bowl, everything stops. It's truly, you know, one of the biggest contests in the world for them. Now, Madonna's going to perform. I don't think she's participating in the contest herself.
Oh, she's not. Oh, I misunderstood.
I believe she's going to be a guest performer, and it's taking place there. But that's where ABBA was discovered when they won the Eurovision contest years ago. They sang the song Waterloo.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's how they got famous. That's why we had to put up with their crap for all those years?
That's why we had to listen to Pierce Brosnan sing, is how I extrapolate the whole thing, yes.
All right. What else is going on in show business this morning?
Probably the biggest showbiz story is yesterday Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin went before court. Felicity Huffman was very apologetic about the whole thing. Lori Loughlin, they said, could be going to jail for a couple of years. So that whole thing is beginning to play out. And Lori Loughlin is not especially cooperating with the whole thing. So they say that she could wind up behind bars, Aunt Becky.
The Felicity Huffman apology I thought was sincere and a nice job, and it doesn't get her out of maybe going to jail, but at least she's trying.
Yeah, and it seems, from a PR standpoint, that it seems to me like this is the best way to handle this. I made a mistake. I was trying to do something for my children. I made a terrible mistake. I'm very sorry. Isn't it funny that like they must be looking at the Jussie Smollett case and going, he got completely off, and yeah, I might be going to jail for a couple of years.
That's exactly right. What are the chances she still has a career, Felicity Huffman? I think Aunt Becky's done, but what about Felicity Huffman?
I think even Aunt Becky might still come back.
Really?
Yeah. I think the jury is still out. I mean that just as a turning of phrase, that we don't know what's going to happen with a lot of these actors from the Me Too allegations and from things like this. People have become very apologetic. I think Felicity Huffman has a better chance at least being apologetic and, you know, admitting that she made a mistake. I think people are very nice and willing to forgive somebody who admits that they made a mistake, but you just never know. I don't think the story is over for some of these actors after what they've been accused of and what they may or may not go to court for. I mean, I think the bigger question is, will we ever see Kevin Spacey act again? That's going to be very interesting because his charges are very serious, and whether or not anybody, you know, would be able to watch a Kevin Spacey performance again, I have a lot of question about that.
Or pay for it, right?
Dean, I just looked on Netflix. Lori Loughlin, new Netflix series, Fuller Big House.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know that. Fuller Big House. So it's actually shot in jail?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I think this is a perfect time for a Desperate Housewives reunion with special guest star Lori Loughlin.
Wow. Yeah. That's I have nothing. something to say about that, clearly.
Well, I mean, the story writes itself. It's these moms who are trying to get their kids in. All the moms were, you know, shady to begin with. They're trying to get their kids into college. Come on, please. Right. Let's make some money.
Yeah, really, really desperate housewives.
Yeah.
Yeah. This might be, or the, what do you call it when it's the third version of a movie? Not a sequel, but what's the third one?
A trequel.
A trequel?
Yeah.
The trequel to is Bad Moms, Dean? That's the...
It could be really Malina. Bad Moms.
Yes.
Kunis?
Yeah, really bad moms. There's a Bob Dylan story this morning, Dean. I'd be curious to get your take on this. Bob Dylan is opening a whiskey distillery in the fall of 2020 in Nashville. Can you imagine Bob Dylan singing drunk?
It would be the only time that we would be able to understand the words that he was singing.
Actually, that's right. It could be the anti-effect, right, where it cleared things up?
Right. It's like... an antidote to the way he normally sounds.
Thought about it. All right, one last item from you. Maybe just what's going on the rest of the day for you?
Well, I'm gonna work on some paperwork, some tax things that I'm behind on.
You gonna go to the Jewel?
No, I'm not gonna go to the Jewel. There's no need to look for me or the contents of my shopping cart. While I'm in the store today, I'm probably going to stop into the TV station for a little while, just see if people remember me, because I've been gone for several days. I like to go back around and reintroduce myself to everybody.
Oh, look, Desperate Uncle Dean is back.
Oh, he's back. I'm going to hear a lot of that behind as I walk down the hall. Oh, he's back.
I thought he was done.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your day, and we look forward to talking to you tomorrow on another edition of More on Entertainment.
I can't wait.
I bet you can.
Is there an emoji for I can't wait?
Yeah, I'm going to send you like the kid from Home Alone with his hand slapping his own face. That's Dean Richards.
And I sent him one Cochran moment, which has now been shared on the Steve Cochran Facebook page and WGN Radio Facebook page.
I'd just like to thank my former friend John DeCoste.
And we're going to be playing that song again in the 9 o'clock hour.
Hey, America, you gave me a ride home.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The love theme from Veep, one of the funniest shows in television history. One of the most politically incorrect shows in television history. One of the meanest shows in television history. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Boy, does she look fabulous, by the way. And what she's been through, battling breast cancer and stuff, she looks better than ever.
Yep.
So she's amazing, and she plays the Veep, the ever-struggling Veep, who's no longer the Veep. She's not in office anymore. She was briefly the president, and she's rerunning for president. And there's a whole backstory about a bunch of different things. Great characters on this show, one of which is Gary Cole. Gary Cole, proud Pride of Park Ridge, Gary Cole. And I think he went to high school in Rolling Meadows. I might be right about that. I might be wrong. It's not like you're going to look it up. But Gary Cole is going to join me on Thursday night at the Lincoln Forum event. And that'll be Thursday night with an opportunity for you to win tickets now. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the Gary Cole game. Gary Cole is such a versatile character actor. He's appeared in over 10,000 films. Did you know that?
That would be Rolling Meadows High School, Steve. You're correct.
Huh? Genius. 10,000 films, John. 10,000 films. And we will play clips from his films or his television shows. He's been in over a million TV shows.
Wow, and that so went from 10,000 to a million.
10,000 films, a million TV shows.
Oh, a million TV
shows. You're just throwing out numbers? Or
he's been in a billion commercials.
Okay.
That's how busy he is.
Also, a cloud reasonable. Weighs 1 million pounds or whatever.
Are we playing fact and fiction right now?
No, this is okay. All facts. So the great Gary Cole will join me at the Lincoln Forum. We'll talk some politics, but we're also going to show the third episode of Veep before you'll see it Sunday night. So we'll preview the episode of Veep. You'll see episode 3 before it airs this coming Sunday on HBO.
We call that a preview screening.
Uh-huh. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
So you can get tickets if you are a winner in the Gary Cole game. 312-981-7200 is the number.
Thursday, April 11th, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Union League Club. And if you don't win, you can get tickets at LincolnForum.org. Steve will be there. Steve Cochran will be there.
Yes, I will. And the way this works is we're going to play a clip. You tell us what Gary Cole movie or TV show it is from. All right? 312-981-7200. We also have some other prizes we're giving out to folks, too. What are those?
We have MyPillows.
We have MyPillows?
Yes.
What about Lou Malnati's? Do we have any of that?
We don't. We gave away all our Lou Mom.
What about app cards? Do we have app cards?
We have an app gift card left for today. Yep, we can do that.
You know what makes Sandberg crazy, John?
I know.
Is when we give away all the prizes at one time. All right.
Well,
so
it trickles down. It goes to our marketing team.
Oh, no, it's you. It's all you. So again, 312-981-7200 is the number. Let's catch up on a couple of things, and then we'll come back and play the game. All right, Thursday night, Gary Cole. And I will interview Gary Cole. We'll yak it up. Have a good time. We'll show you episode 3 of the new season of Veep. And you can walk around for a couple days bragging to your friends. Hey, I know what happens. I'm psychic. I'm HBO psychic. Carol's in Round Lake. First person to play the Gary Cole game. It's a hot game, Carol. This is catching on all over.
Well, I'm terrible with movies, though, so I hope I do well.
All right. Now, Gary Cole's been in a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows. He's a very funny dude. Really good actor. We're going to make it super easy here. Joe's going to play a clip, and then you identify which movie or TV show this is from. And if you need help, just ask us.
Yeah. I'd be more than glad to ask you.
All right, so here we go. Clue number one.
So let's talk about changing your narrative. Customary shortcuts to public affirmation are military service or childbirth.
Okay, God, no. And oh my God, no. In that order.
Okay, well, then we go back to the idea of turning that frown into the inverse of a frown.
What show or movie is that from? Show or movie.
John DeCoste, a lot of people are going, I know what it is.
John DeCoste is an expert on these things.
So. John, any help?
Oh, my God. Was he in Mean Girls by any chance?
It was not in Mean Girls.
No, okay.
Not in Mean Girls.
That would have been... That was my guess. I'm sorry. You're going to win no matter what.
Does Mary Vandeville know this one? Sometimes she knows this one.
I'm really bad at movies. I'm not that good at them.
If I were to say to you...
Should we wake up Nick DiGiulio?
I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. Does that help at all?
I'm going to give you two words, and I'm going to say space.
Is the second word?
Office.
Office space.
And maybe just pick... sound like I'm from that.
No, it's not Office Space. Think about the theme we just played a couple of minutes ago. Like what about the theme we just played a couple of minutes ago? What is he starring currently?
Veep, you said.
Veep, that's it. Congratulations. I can't believe you said Veep. You're a huge winner. That's a clip from Veep.
Ding, ding, ding.
See, you said you didn't know, Carol. You're a winner.
Carol, you're amazing.
Well, that'll be great because I hope I get to see him because I went to high school with him.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, that'll be fun.
No,
come on.
We graduated the same year.
Did he ever hit on you?
No, we were not really because he had a different girlfriend and I had a different boyfriend. So, and we were in the same singing group way back when. So,
I think what you're saying.
Like I said, I do know Gary.
I think what you're saying here is you two had a thing. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
No.
All right, Carol, well, come on, see us. I'd love to see you. Hold the line. Isn't that cool? That's the thing. There you go. Carol, Gary's longtime high school girlfriend. I think you're Luke in Woodridge. Hey, Luke, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your Gary Cole clip.
I couldn't have put it better myself, Jan, but I'll try anyway. See, I've always believed that it doesn't matter where your home is because home is where your heart is. And we may lose this house, but we'll always have our family because we're Brady's. And this family is our home. That's why we'll always have our home. As long as we have our family, even if we lose our house, we're still Brady's.
Can you imagine?
This one I know. This one I know for sure.
He was so friggin' good as
perfect.
Mike.
Yeah. Oh, it was better than Mike.
Do you have any idea who that could be, Luke? Or what that's from, I should say.
You should pick me, Luke.
Did they make a Brady Bunch remake?
Bang! Just like that. Well done by you.
I like how Luke's pretending he has not seen the Brady Bunch remake.
He's also pretending that he didn't hear Brady.
I watched the Brady Bunch when I was little, but I never saw the remake.
Oh, dude.
Awesome movie.
Brilliant.
Gary Cole's great in it. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for winning and listening and all that. What was the name of it? The Brady Bunch movie?
The Brady Bunch sequel.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
No. Oh, the Brady Bunch movie and then the Brady Bunch sequel. There were two.
And then wasn't there like
Shelley
a very
Long?
Brady Christmas and all that?
Well, those are just television specials.
And then there was Godfather 2.
right.
Die Hard. With a Vengeance.
The Brady Bunch movie 8. Was 1995. Can you believe that?
He was so bad. Honestly, he was so
perfect.
Good.
Well, you know.
One more. Patricia in Bourbonnais. Patricia!
Hi.
All right, Patricia. We're going to play a Gary Cole clip. Let's see if you know your Gary Cole. Roll it.
I hope so.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out. Did you see the memo about this?
So good. So good. What a great movie that is, yep. too.
Can we just sit and watch movies?
If we get, do you need a hint here, Patricia?
Is Office Space?
Bang!
Bam.
You are a
Yay.
Big winner.
Ding, ding, ding!
Yay!
My hint was going to be Schmoffish Schmace and see if that helped you at all. Hey, you're a big winner. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We got a roll going on here. Joe, go to the extra ones that people don't know as well for Gary Cole. And let's see if the staff knows any of those. Give me one of those.
You came in, you said, if you ain't first, you're last.
Oh, hell, Ricky, I was high when I said that. But that doesn't make any sense at all. You're first, you're last. You can be second, you can be third, fourth. Hell, you can be fifth.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. How about another one, Joe? Give me another one, if you would, please. Let's see what you think. Yeah, I know. See if you know this one.
Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway. Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
You know what that is?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's right. Gary Cole as Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross. That's how good Gary Cole is. He's like a Meryl Streep. Give me another one.
Amazing.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, it's Gary Cole in Network.
I was going to say,
Cole.
No way.
Yeah, no, that's Gary Cole doing Network. That's how good he was. Yeah, crazy. I bet you got another one. Joe, do you have another one? I'd love to.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
A million.
Hit it.
This is how versatile and accurate he is. That's Gary Cole as Dan Aykroyd in the Blues Brothers. I mean, it just goes on and on. Coming up, Steve Grzanich in the WGN newsroom. And we'll give away more tickets to Thursday night's Gary Cole-a-thon at the Lincoln Forum. Sandberg, how do you get tickets if you want to buy them?
LincolnForum.org.
And you should. We'll see you Thursday. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
You may have heard Rokan had Emilio Estevez on, I don't know, last week, wasn't it?
Well, are we giving the honest answer
sure.
or the showbiz answer?
Well, let's do both. I was last week on the air, and Emilio Estevez was in town to promote a new movie called The Public.
I think he was in town a couple weeks earlier, and they had recorded it.
What?
I know. That's the showbiz answer.
My friend Ryan Dowd from Hesed House in Aurora was doing a bunch of the publicity with Emilio. It involves not necessarily the Hesed House homeless shelter, but homeless folks. And Ryan is one of the leading advocates in the country for the homeless and trying to fix the problem. And he joins me now because I asked him to. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. And yourself?
Doing fine. How's your lovely wife?
Oh, she's fantastic. Chrissy's fantastic. Okay. She says hi.
All right, great. And how are things at Hesed House?
I mean, they're good. We haven't ended homelessness yet, so it could be better. But Hesed House as an organization is doing well. We won't be happy until we get to shut down because we're not needed anymore.
One of the things I learned from Ryan a long time ago was the depth of homelessness. Like every morning, there are families with kids, and the kids get up and go to school, and they come back to the shelter because they're living their lives. And there's people that get up and they go to jobs. And they come back. So they have a job, or the kids go to school, but they don't necessarily have a home. And that's just part of it. And there's also folks who are really down on their luck that don't have that.
Yeah, homelessness has changed pretty dramatically in the last 30 years, much more towards people with employment, much more towards women, much more towards children than it used to be back in the 80s. So it's an evolving issue.
So I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to promote this movie, The Public, from Emilio Estevez. I know you believe in it, and I think it's going to be important for people to see it, and I hear it's a great film.
It is a fantastic film. I think part of the people think, oh, it's a movie about libraries and homelessness. That sounds important, but it doesn't sound interesting. It's actually a really, really good movie. It's surprisingly funny, which that's the most common comment people make when they walk out of there was, I didn't expect to laugh so much, which is Not surprising for me, because working with homeless individuals all the time, they have a great sense of humor. And so it's actually not surprising to me, but it is to a lot of people who see the movie. It's just a funny, sweet, fun movie.
All right. So the backstory on this was, did it take place in Cincinnati?
Yeah, so they filmed the whole thing in Cincinnati. It's set in Cincinnati. It's very, very Cincinnati-centric.
Right, so this was but it's based on a true story, I guess, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. I thought it was.
There's different elements that are pulled from truth. There are like a couple different like lawsuits that kind of that happen in real life and are kind of mirrored. And there's some different things like that. But it is not a true story.
But it's a blend.
It's a blend of various different things. I mean, any one of the pieces is pretty much happening in our country somewhere. But all of it together is a fictionalized account.
And why is the library piece important here? Because it's going on around the country, I know.
Yeah, libraries increasingly around the country are struggling with their role to be a public space, where that means serving the entire public, everyone from people who are experiencing homelessness to multimillionaires and everyone in between. And that's an increasing theme for libraries that they're having to try to adjust to and figure out what that means, which is how I got connected. I had written a book called The Librarian's Guide to Homelessness that Emilio heard about and actually reached out over Facebook, of all places.
How about that? Well, you know, you're so hard to reach otherwise. But in the meantime, explain why that's so important to people, aside from the fact that homeless folks sometimes need to come into the libraries to stay warm, because some of these communities are telling the libraries, we're going to shut it down, right?
Yeah, libraries are under assault all around the country for lots of reasons. There's this misconception that nobody goes to libraries, which is really funny to me, because I spend a lot of time working in libraries around homelessness, and every time I go to a library, it's packed with children doing programming, right, and families coming in there for various things. The role of libraries is definitely evolving away from exclusively a repository of books and more towards a community center where the community gathers for tons of different stuff. But in that transition, a lot of people have this misconception that libraries are just irrelevant anymore, and that's just not the case.
And the fact is, it's not just a situation where it's a homeless shelter without a name. It gives an opportunity for folks to come in and benefit from it. And the book that you wrote about it gives libraries a guideline and a guidebook, if you will, on how to handle it, right?
Yeah, to kind of help them understand the homeless population, how best to work with the homeless population. Yeah.
So what do people need to know? I mean, we have librarians listening right now.
Well, it's like a 250-page book, but I'll sum it down into you know, five words or so. I mean, part of it is just helping individuals to understand what people experiencing homelessness are going through, that there's, you know, the people are exhausted. If you're homeless, you're exhausted. You're stressed out of your mind. And so when someone might, sneak a little nap in here or there, any one of us, if we were homeless, we would need a nap too, because it is just so bloody exhausting. And it's a lot of other things like that, where it's helping people, middle-class professionals, to understand people who are experiencing homelessness so they can have greater empathy. Because if you have greater empathy, just everything goes better.
What do you think people need to do to get that? I mean, is it a character thing for the rest of us, or is it we just don't like to think about how unpleasant someone's life might be?
Comes down to a lack of familiarity. If you don't ever interact with somebody experiencing homelessness, it's easy to form this narrative in your mind as to who they are and how they got there, and create this kind of caricature of the person that is largely not based in fact. But when you actually talk to someone who's homeless and you go, oh, wow, your favorite movie is Young Guns, my favorite movie is Young Guns, and start to realize that humanity there, but that requires some interaction. And that's why I think libraries in particular are so important, because it's one of the last institutions in our country where all the different socioeconomic classes come together in one singular place, because it's not like anywhere else. You don't have to spend any money there, and so people in poverty, people in the middle class, people in wealth can all come together, and our country desperately needs more places like that where all the different socioeconomic groups can come together in one place.
You know, my son Ross, who I know you know, brought up a very simple thing too. When you greet people, especially on the street here in Chicago, stop for a second, ask them their name. It personalizes the encounter, and it gives them an opportunity to be a person.
Yeah. People ask me all the time, you know, should I give to panhandlers? And my answer is basically that's a personal decision as to whether you give money. I would not judge you either way. But regardless of whether you give money or not, you know, make some eye contact, smile, say good morning, how's your day going? And you can do that even if you don't give money, because that act of humanization is, in my opinion, far more important than the, you know, the $2 you might have in your wallet.
Right. I think, Ryan, what you pointed out, too, that's important is that what we have a generic picture of what a homeless person looks like isn't what a homeless person looks like. There's people that are homeless that we don't even know are homeless that look just like us. Our kids go to school together, but then they don't have a place to sleep when they leave. You know, it's not the stereotype isn't what the reality there.
Yeah. Well, at Hesed House, we get 92% of the people here out within 1 year. So, and we get 50% of them out within 2 weeks.
That's incredible.
And so the vast majority of people are not actually homeless for very long, and they certainly don't fit our stereotypes of homelessness.
And I know, speaking of Hesed House, on the website you have a list of urgent need items that people need. Washcloths, men's deodorant, dryer sheets, reading glasses, alcohol-free cough, cold and cough medicine, cough drops, large body wash, eye drops, sleep aid, Benadryl, Orajel, alcohol-free mouthwash, and a double-bladed razor. So people can drop those off by you.
It's not
absolutely,
just
yes.
It's not just cash, in other words. You can donate needs.
And Hesed is HESEDHOUSE.org.
Correct.
Ryan, you're a good man, and the movie comes out when? I don't have an opening date here.
It came out last Friday, so it's out. People should go see it. Go see it this week.
Go see it and support it. And thanks to Emilio Estevez, who I hope you found out or found him to be a good guy. That was my experience.
He is a fantastic human being.
Yeah, and he's making great movies.
Yes, he is.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Talk to you later, Steve.
Ryan Dowd at Hesed House. All he does every day is try to change the world.
Yeah, just, I mean, that's
it's pretty amazing is what it is. It
makes you feel like you're doing nothing.
I know.
I just asked you if you were going to hit balls today.
Well, you've heard this show.
Like saving people that don't have homes.
This show gives an opportunity for people like Ryan Dowd to promote the good that they do, so we don't have to do anything.
There you go.
What?
And I think
that's not true.
Coming up next, we're going to play again the John DeCoste masterpiece, One Cochran Moment.
It's the only opportunity we'll have. I hope we don't run out of time before that segment comes up. Stand by at 9:24. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Oh, boy. Congratulations, Mary Vandeveld, the winner of the Steve Cochran Show Brackets Racket.
I thank you.
What did I call it earlier, Dave?
A Wang Dang Doodle?
No.
Racket.
No.
Pick off or something?
Yeah, pick off.
Oh, the pick off. The brackets pick off. It's great that we won, Mary, and all the prizes you got. We'll see everything.
My bracket is all highlighted in my blue and yellow highlighter.
Well done by
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful.
We'll see what everybody.
We'll see what he calls it next hour.
Right. And because of that bracket winning, John DeCoste and Dave Ennett put together an amazing song that we're going to hear in a second.
Did. Before you get to that,
first,
though,
I would like to thank The River at 2909 North Sheffield Avenue, Kitchen and Bar.
What's it called?
The River.
Okay.
Enter The River Kitchen and Bar, where modern industrial design meets a decade of old institution and fun. They have American-inspired palettes, and they have dropped off a lot of wings.
Is that for my win?
Yes. We've got four giant chafing dishes full of different kinds of wings.
Where is that being placed at
this
time?
It's in the kitchen.
I just saw it in the kitchen.
So how many salespeople are over there fighting over
it? Nobody has opened it at all. I was going to peek in there to see what it was.
I just want to tell you the news might be delayed a little bit.
So the wings look amazing. So thank you to The River. And now we can hear your amazing song that John DeCoste and his son Christopher and Dave Ennett put together.
Well, the setup on this is One Shining Moment is a Luther Vandross song that became a tradition at the NCAA's, I don't know how many years ago.
30.
And 30, CBS puts together a highlight package of the entire tournament set to One Shining Moment that they play at the end, the very end, after the game is complete, after Jim Nance has stopped crying, and before he boards his plane for Augusta. All of that. So, One Shining Moment, but yet One Shining Moment is not about basketball. In this case, it's just an opportunity to rip me. And I think many of you will enjoy it. Here's the song.
One Cochran Moment.
Yes.
The show begins, but where are you? You're running right on time. Yeah, it's 6:22, 35 years plus. Make a pro like you. But that button that you pushed, now we can't hear.
Here's the second free throw attempt by Cochran.
He clangs it off the back iron, no good. Cochran goes up for the rebound. He lost the ball out of bounds. Here's a wide open 15-footer for Cochran. Where's he going with that one? Cochran's got a wide open three for the win. No good. Are you kidding me?
It's one Cochran moment, white lightning the ride. One Cochran moment, Joe's fit to be tied. Madigan calls you daily on the phone, but something you should know, crickets are his ringtone. NCAA, great picks, good luck. Now everybody knows just how much you suck.
The sleeper out of the West. You like Buffalo?
But do you like Yale at all?
Now, Duke's coming out of the East region. It's hard to imagine that anybody will beat him. Do you agree or disagree? In the Midwest, North Carolina hard to beat? Wofford. And that's a good team.
They're the toughest, they're pretty good team.
Toughest team ever to be called the Terriers. I got a chance to get through at least tonight, maybe tomorrow morning before it's over.
For sure?
Yeah, I just looked at mine.
It's one Cochran moment, delusional two. One Cochran moment, hey, even oh. In your throat, hacking cough fest begins, and we're all well aware was a band you were in. You're looking great, lost weight and joy, but your head now makes you look like a bobblehead toy. It's one Cochran moment, a great morning show. One Cochran moment we knew. One Cochran moment on 720. One Cochran moment with you.
Let's hear it again.
It's so good. Every time it gets better.
There's never, a lot. I didn't hear the first time.
Now
I got the bobblehead part.
I've never seen the staff so excited about anything.
What did you hear?
No, there were just some lines I didn't catch the first time going through.
Because I didn't hear his head going down and then it was like, when you get skinnier, but your head doesn't shrink.
September, this will be 6 years of doing this show. This is the happiest the staff has ever been.
Oh, we get chicken wings too.
It's very funny.
Andy, yeah, very
funny. I know. That's a good one.
And chicken wings too.
Oh my!
I couldn't believe a higher voice got on Suck.
Yeah, what was that? He said it hurt his abdomen.
Yeah, all three of those I had to double those up.
It was like American Idol.
Worth it. Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done. That is available where?
It's on WGNRadio.com. It's also on the Steve Cochran Show and WGN Radio Facebook pages. So
it's front page. I'm going to play it every morning. WGNRadio.com now.
Yeah.
By the way,
is it?
Yeah.
Do you hear that? Joe said he's playing it every morning.
Yeah. Just as a quick thought, you all can suck it. all right. We need a break. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Sandelson.
Back to Big O. Good morning, O.
Well, good morning to you, too, and thanks to John, who is brilliant as a composer, so I enjoy all of that.
Did you hear the Cochran song a few moments ago?
Yes, I did, yes.
Were you as offended as I was?
Not really.
Oh, really?
Thank you,
Orion.
I wasn't mentioned in the song, so I have nothing to be offended by.
That's very, very, very true. No,
did he say he wanted to hear it again?
No, I actually did not.
Well, for those of you who didn't hear it, you can go to WGN Radio or the Steve Cochran Show and WGN Red Facebook page, and you can hear it in its entirety.
Orion, I was doing some show prep last night, and there was a story about how nursing is still a great career for kids to get into. Here's the thing I'd be curious about, and you know farming better than the rest of us, obviously. Outside of family farmers, are kids getting into farming anymore?
Well, they are a little bit more than they were maybe 5 or 10 years ago, because there was a time when if your parents didn't own a farm and could pass it on to you, the cost of getting into farming with equipment and seed and all of the other inputs in agriculture made it very difficult. But one of the things I like about Sonny Perdue, the Secretary of Agriculture, is he works with FFA and 4-H kids. Young adults, I guess I should say they are now, but he's working with them to find ways to help them get started. And the thing that I started 10 years ago, and it fell absolutely flat, I kept saying to people who owned farms without kids, without heirs, find a young person in your community and give them a job. Let them come in on the farm and start working for equity. But that didn't go anywhere. So, yeah, it's a challenge for a young person today to get into farming.
Well, it's a great idea, because you come in and you mentor them, and then the farm can stay active, right?
Absolutely. And can be farmed the way you have farmed it and would like to see it continue as a part of the community. But tough to do. And the interesting thing is, people who do have kids, heirs to the farm, many of them have left the farm for city jobs, and they want their money right now. They don't want to have to wait for probate and all that sort of thing. And it makes it difficult if there is a member of the family who wants to continue farming.
And if you weren't involved in farms as a young person, you may not realize, I always think of it as just physical labor, but there's a lot of engineering and technology that goes into farming now that you have to be educated on.
Well, you have more TV screens in your combine cab or tractor cab than you do in your home, because the harvesting machines, the combines, are measuring the yield as it comes across the cutting bar and measuring the moisture of the corn or the soybean crop. And yeah, you do have to be a technological whiz to operate all of the equipment that has now become an everyday part of agriculture.
Is that driving older farmers out faster, or are they adapting?
I think they're adapting, but it's easier if the young member of the family has gone off to college and has picked up on all of the technology. The other thing that I always advise young farm people, go to college, get your education and your degree, and then don't come back to the farm right away. Instead, take a job for 3 or 4 years in some other industry. It'll give you more information and education, but I think it'll give you a better appreciation for farming as an industry and as a career.
You know, there for a long time have been artists in the music industry who have made a lot of noise, and rightfully so, about artist share on hit records. So a hit goes out. We're talking about John and his musical prowess, but yeah, you know, people go, well, you know, download on a song cost, what is it, a couple of bucks, $3?
$1.29 or something, yeah.
Yeah, an album is $10, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. The artist on an album, a $10 album, might see 50 cents, quarter. You know, it's a small amount. What I didn't realize, though, is the amount a farmer gets back on the food they sell originally. For instance, if I go and buy a box of cereal, what does the wheat farmer make back on that? And farmers are getting 14 cents on the dollar, according to statistics I just saw.
Yeah, and that's very true, because there is so much additional cost that is added on to that corn kernel or that wheat kernel as it moves off the farm and ends up as a loaf of bread or any other baked good in your supermarket. And you've got the advertising, you've got the transportation, you've got the processing, and so much that goes into that food item, starting out as a raw product on the farm till it ends up on your dinner table. Very true.
Is cooperative farming still a big deal?
Co-ops are still a big deal. Farmers belong to cooperatives, but and it does benefit them financially. But co-op farming, where groups get together and operate a farm, just too much disagreement on how the farm should be operated and how the goods should be produced. So I don't think that's doing much. But yes, the co-op that could provide goods and services at reduced prices. And the other thing about farm cooperatives is at the end of the year, if there is a profit, it goes back to the farmers who are members of the co-op because they are the ones who supported it.
I grew up in upstate New York, which is dairy farm country, and Cornell University is there. And Cornell University is one of the great ag schools in the world.
Without a doubt.
And I remember when co-op started to be a big thing when I was a little kid in the late 60s and early 70s. And I believe I heard this phrase a lot. Those damn hippies. Now they're taking over the farms.
Well, some of them were, yeah. And, of course, Woodstock probably added a lot to that. I don't think you can classify them as hippies. They're
no.
People who look a little different and talk a little different. But basically, they're interested, I think, in one thing, and that's producing food, because they tended to work in communes or whatever you call them. I don't know. But anyway, that way they would share the food and the products of the farm before they would go out and sell it to other people. That, not so much anymore.
We're able to keep an eye on the business numbers all day long, right?
I'm here to serve, and I'm satisfied with my song, John, so thank you very much for that.
I am, too. I believe the subtitle of my song was Shot to the Crotch. It was great. Thank you. Well, talk to you later, and we're coming back. Yeah, this one's pretty good, too. Are you going to sue those guys?
They just recorded it now?
Yeah, seconds ago.
That's not right.
And the nice thing is about this one Cochran moment is, at the very least, we know that this thing will get played every year. Because every year there's a one shining moment.
Joe has his way. He'll play it every hour. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy in just a second. Is there anything else you want to promote for the rest of the week, Sandberg, that you booked without my knowledge?
We have Rick Reilly joining us tomorrow at 9:10.
That was my knowledge.
That is. We also
it's all about Trump cheating on the golf course.
Kurt Byram tomorrow at 9:40.
Kurt Byram.
Talking Masters.
Talking Masters. That'll be great.
I think we're going to give away more tickets for the Lincoln Forum event that you're hosting with Gary Cole on Thursday.
Gary Cole is a funny guy.
We also... that's right. We're giving away a golf foursome tomorrow as well because we have to do our Masters picks.
Okay, good.
And every major this season, we will give away a foursome of golf.
So. Which golf course? You'll tell me tomorrow?
I will.
I'm on a need-to-know basis? The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's where Steve will be next. Bill and Wendy are here. Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Excellent.
Yes. Look, Bill looks very uncomfortable.
This chair's up at lifeguard size. I can see people in Lake Michigan drowning. I can save
You're
them.
Quite high.
Yeah.
Everybody's bending over for the microphone. It's a whole thing.
There's scoliosis.
Lifeguard size.
Yeah, it's a whole
so
thing.
So good.
What's going on?
We got Greg Kot coming on to review John DeCosta's song. It's going to be fun.
What did you think?
It made me cry.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
A lot of emotion.
Not for all the right reasons, but I did cry.
Which part? The bobblehead part? Or?
Yeah,
the high voice. That was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, the part about how my pick sucked?
Yes. Yes.
What about the phlegm? Did you enjoy the phlegm?
That was fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was all fun.
Yes. Are you hoping John will do one about you?
Yes.
It's my dream. Bill and Wendy, can I get a ride home from you guys?
Yeah.
Both of us?
Yeah.
We don't come in together.
We drive together.
I don't care.
We carpool in.
I'll come back and we'll take another ride out.
They live in completely different directions, yet they still ride together.
Got to save on gas, Steve.
That's teamwork.
Yep.
Enjoy the show. You know, we'll come back tomorrow.
Can we publicize something? Can we tell everybody what's coming up?
No.
You know how much I love The View.
Said no guy ever.
The author of the book, Ladies Who Punch, the backstory of The View, will be on with us.
Why do you like The View, honestly?
I love The View. It's like a WWE match every day. It's fantastic.
You know what The View sounds like to me? The first 5 minutes of The View, and it always is.
Gah! Gah!
Oh, that's
it's like
nice.
An attack of the birds. Like I said, we'll come back tomorrow.
All right.